Now on BBC Radio 4, Nicholas Parsons is back with those familiar words.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers who are going to show their skill and expertise as they speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, that master of improvised ad-lib comedy, Paul Merton, and seated beside him, we have that mistress of sophisticated, spontaneous humour, Sue Perkins, and seated on my left we have another improvised comedian and also comedy writer, Tony Hawkes, and seated beside him we have someone who's escaped from the confines of Ambridge to show that he has a way with improvised humour, that is Charles Collingwood. Would you please welcome all four of them? Charlotte Davis, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the magnificent Theatre Royal in the heart of that fine city of Newcastle, in that great area of the British Isles, Tyneside. Well, over here... and we have a real Geordie audience waiting us to cheer us on our way. I think we'll... Paul, the subject I have in front of me is how to get a good night's sleep. Well, don't listen to Nicholas Parsons doing his Daleks. Your 60 seconds starting now.
How to get a good night's sleep. Some experts recommend activity during the day. Try and wear your brain and body out. When I go to sleep at night, I tend to listen to old CDs, Paul Temple cases, written by Francis Durbridge, recorded by the British Broadcasting Corporation from the 40s onwards. They're rather complicated stories with twisted narratives.
Charles Collingwood,
tell us. Stories.
Yes, there was a mother story.
Was
before.
There?
Yes, there was indeed, yes. Charles told the stories. So, Charles, you have a correct challenge, well listened, and you get a point for that, of course. You take over the subject, and you have 41 seconds available. How to get a good night's sleep, starting now.
Now, this is the trick I have. I find the best way of getting a good night's sleep is to think about our chairman, Nicholas Parsons, and his career. And I go back to the days when he was starring with Arthur Haynes, and as his career moves on, I suddenly...
Poor challenge.
A repetition of career.
And what a pity, what I was enjoying it. Really. Yes.
But I was nearly asleep, actually. There was just...
Oh, well, all right, you've spoiled it all now, Charles.
Sorry, Nicholas.
I thought you were a friend. Right, you have a correct challenge, Paul. You have a point. You have 27 seconds. Take back how to get a good night's sleep, starting now.
Drink an entire bottle of whiskey, and you'll soon find that the sleep will...
Tony Hawk's challenge this time.
I think he used a word from the Azerbaijani dictionary.
That's right. So we interpret that as hesitation. Tony, you have a correct challenge. You have 21 seconds, a point, of course. How to get a good night's sleep, starting now.
I've never understood it when people say they've had a good night's sleep. They say they've slept like a...
Whoops. To Sue, you've challenged.
The repetition of say.
Yes. Yes. Well, listen, Sue. You get that sort of ripple through the audience when they do it, yes.
I think hostility is the word you're looking for.
Well, we're hearing from everybody on the first round, which is lovely. How to get a good night's sleep is now with you, Sue, and 17 seconds available, starting now.
Diazepam, temazepam, skullcap, valerian. If you're feeling in a slightly more homeopathic frame of mind, which I often am of an evening, but if neither of those things work, why not put a bucket on your head and run flat towards a wall?
It's only a challenge.
I thought there was a slight hesitation.
I know, before she put the bucket on her head, yeah. I mean...
I was disorientated.
I know. I could feel it. You just didn't know where you were. But Tony's got in with another correct challenge and 6 seconds available. How to get a good night's sleep, Tony, starting now.
Drinking a bottle of any kind of alcoholic beverage will assist...
Paul challenge.
Well, if you drink a miniature, that won't make any difference. So drinking a bottle of any, you know...
I think that's a
deviation, isn't it?
I think that's a clear. I have to give you the benefit of the doubt, yes. Paul, you've cleverly gone in with 2 seconds to go on this subject, starting now.
Make yourself a milky drink late at night.
Whoever is speaking this game, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, and he has got 3 at the end of the round. Tony has 2, the others both have 1, and we move on to Sue Perkins to begin the next round. Sue, the subject is footsie. Tell us something about footsie in this game starting now.
Whatever you do, don't make the mistake that I...
There was a bit of hesitation there.
I know, it's very a bit hard. Me, Charlie, got going. Well,
thank
well,
you,
well, I mean, are we playing the game?
And now we must rise and charge against him.
No. If we're not, I'll go and listen to the archers if we're not playing the game.
No, sit down again, Charles, sit down. Pull yourself together. No, it was a correct challenge. But sometimes we're a bit generous at the beginning. But as it was a correct challenge, you have to have it and a point and the subject. 58 seconds, footsie starting now.
When I ring my broker up every morning, I just try to find out if my shares are doing well.
A Sue challenge.
Just wanted to point out he's just now alienated all of Newcastle. Can I have my subject back?
But he
now?
Was, of course, speaking as, what's your name? Brian, aren't you? Yeah.
If you like, it's got Charles written down here, but...
In your character, Brian.
Sorry.
Right, what was your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
Repetition.
Of
what?
Nothing, right. Charles, you have another point.
My.
You keep the subject.
Repetition of my.
Well, I phone up my stockbroker to find out how my shares are doing.
Well, as you were so mean to her, I'm going to be mean to you and say... Paul tipped her off there. But anyway, so Paul will listen. Sue will won. 53 seconds. Back with you now. FTSE starting now.
Don't ever make the mistake of confusing FTSE, the London Share Index, with the under-the-table sexual foreplay game, as I did, whilst running my foot up the inner thigh of the chairman of Glaxo Welcome. Get out, he shouted, and security were called, and I was dragged thence from the building. Equally, I find it confusing when I'm opposite a partner. They suggest perhaps something...
Charles challenged.
Can I say hesitation now?
You can, but I don't think it was a hesitation. Okay. It was very close, but okay. Not close.
Oh, sorry. No, you're the judge, so fair enough.
I have to be. Somebody has to judge.
Sorry, Sue.
No, I'm not being mean. I'm always trying to be as fair as I can. Sue, another point to you. 30 seconds. Footsie starting now.
Equally, somebody asked me to play footsie and I recited the current medical technology stocks and shares at them, which bored them rigid.
Tony challenged.
Did you repeat shares?
No, share index before.
One was singular, the other one was plural.
Sue, you're doing well.
She's having an affair.
He's tipping me off.
They're working as a team over there. Right, 23 seconds, FTSE, with you, Sue, starting now. To all you challenged.
Hesitation.
That was clever tactics. You know, you were busted at the fact that you helped her, right. So anyway, Paul, correct challenge, 23 and a half. Quits is with you, Paul, starting now.
I have a 5-year-old nephew and he can't pronounce the word football because he refers to it as footsie. This is an extraordinary thing for him to do because he doesn't exist. I just made him up. Isn't it odd when we...
Sue, challenge.
Deviating from his normal family structure and inventing a nephew.
Well, the whole point is that he didn't deviate within the rules of just a minute. Mm. And you can be as inventive...
You can invent nephews, can't you, Nicola?
Yes, all right.
You can be as surreal as you like.
Invent nephews.
But outside of this
you were
game...
If you were to say he definitely hasn't got a nephew, then none of us could dispute it. He might be able to produce one. So I think I have to give the benefit...
Paul is now making a nephew.
No, you can be as inventive as you like and go into the realm of the surreal, which is possible.
I had a barbecue recently and Paul said he couldn't come because he was spending the day with his 5-year-old nephew.
That's when he first entered the world.
Anyway, you only have the benefit of the doubt on this one, so you keep the subject. 11 seconds, footsie starting now.
As I looked into her eyes and she in turn viewed...
Sue, challenge.
I thought he was a nephew. He's changed gender.
We didn't establish it was
nephew behind.
He'd gone off into a different realm.
He existed purely for comedic purposes.
Yes. Gone off into a different voice. A different sort of... So that challenge was incorrect. So Paul has still 7 seconds on footsie starting now.
I remember the very first time I engaged in the activity of footsie while flying in a plane. 5,000 feet up in the air...
Paul got points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's increased his lead over the other three. And Charles Collingwood, will you take the next round? A perfect subject for you, Charles. Admiral Collingwood, You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
As everybody in this wonderful theatre knows, Admiral Lord Collingwood is the son of this wonderful city.
Tony challenged.
I didn't know that.
All right, well, what I do there is I give Tony a bonus point because we enjoyed his interruption, but Charles gets a point because he was interrupted.
Can we have longer than a minute? I need to learn a lot about this. Right.
He's got 54 seconds to inform you as he carries on with Admiral Collingwood starting now.
Indeed, Tony is right, because I thought this evening it should be called Just a Quarter of an Hour, because there's no way I can possibly describe this man of the salt in...
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of this.
I'm sorry, Sue, this is the son of this city. These people... Admiral Collingwood means so much to these people. How you feel you can mention... Am I not right, ladies and gentlemen? Yes! Was he not greater than Nelson?
Yes! Oh, you've mistaken this for a rally.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
She's allowed to talk about him now. That's the point. She's her turn.
And I've no idea who he is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens, because I will give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed
Thank
your
you.
Tirade
Thank
and the emotion
Thank
that you,
you
evoked. So Charles gets a bonus point, Sue gets a point for her correct challenge, and she has 46 seconds on Admiral Collingwood starting now.
Paul's 5-year-old nephew came up to me the other day and said...
Charles Challenge.
That's a complete waste of time if we're going to have Admiral Collingwood to even mention Paul's nephew. It's only now about 40 seconds left about this great man. Give these people a chance.
Charles,
they had little enough chance last year. Look at it. Look at the reaction.
I think you should withdraw to the pigsties in Pennyhasset or something, but she probably is about to say...
His nephew
came up and said, did you tell me something about Admiral Collingwood?
Yes.
Sorry, I'll take a tablet, I'm sorry.
Talks very excitedly about that conversation. Yes.
Another point to Sue Perkins. Sorry, Sue. 43 seconds, Admiral Collingwood. Sue, starting now.
Who is Admiral Collingwood? He said to me, his eyes wide opened, and I turned round, laid a hand on his shoulder and said, do you know what? I have no idea whatsoever. But every time his name is mentioned in this beautiful theatre, a cheer erupts.
Charles Talent.
Repetition of theatre.
Yeah, you did mention theatre before.
Did you?
It was mentioned before.
It was mentioned by
you, I've never known a crowd turn more quickly between... to then just feeling sorry for me. I'm loving it.
They're playing with us, aren't they?
So, Sue, you have another point because you didn't mention theatre before.
Oh. Sorry, Sue.
That's
sorry.
All right.
And you have 31 seconds. Carry on with Admiral Collingwood starting now.
But let not the...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of... Second time in a row.
Yeah. Yes, it does that little sort of funny lispy thing. With him. Yeah.
It's very enchanting, but repetitious.
Yes. And great after one.
I think, Paul, that would be very unfair to take it away from her. I don't think you should start like that again, Sue. I think Paul's interruption was just too dramatic. But he gets a bonus point because they love what he's said. But you get the benefit of the doubt. No, not him, it's her. Sue has the subject still. 30
because
seconds.
It shows he can still identify genders.
It's abbreviation. When Admiral Collingwood is still with you, Sue. 30 seconds starting now.
I said.
That was a definite repetition.
If I'd gone I'd sound like I was revving up a motorcycle.
It was a repetition of.
Yeah.
You made that sound. It was a repetition sound. It went on and on and on. I've given you 3 benefits of the doubt. So Tony Hawkes has the benefit of the doubt now. Tony, benefit of the doubt to you. And poor Charles is sitting there so deep in neurosis he wants to talk about it.
Well, it's such an insult to the great man to have people going brrr and things like that. It's dreadful, but the audience understands, don't you? Just nod.
You'll be all right. You're in safe hands, don't you worry.
Tony, benefit of the doubt to you, so you have a point for that. 29 seconds, Admiral Collingwood starting now.
The Admiral Collingwood is a beautiful pub in Hartlepool where I go and spend evenings off footsie they have on there, which is fantastic fun, where everyone gets together, they put their little leg.
Paul Towns.
Hesitation.
Yes, Paul. 19 seconds, you tell us something about Admiral Collingwood starting now.
One of the most famous homosexuals of his day. He never...
Charles, your challenge.
That was such deviation from
come, may I say?
It may be deviation then, but now it's an accepted sexual practice.
Yes.
And we but need it, to move
we should
on.
Be proud.
It was deviation from a deviant, no less.
Right.
How dare you say that about
Charles?
They're all at it in those
Charles,
days.
We have no proof that he didn't have a little bit of a ding-dong with Nelson.
He said, Nelson said, kiss me Hardy, not kiss me Collingwood.
They were all at it. They were queuing to have a crack at
he
Nelson.
He didn't say kiss me
they
Collingwood, Nicholas.
Stuck away for weeks and months on their own on these ships. But they exactly had to get some,
he
to get some emotional relief.
I know, but Charles, jolly good fun.
But Charles, out of fairness to you, yes. I've given benefits of the doubt around. You have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion because you're dying to get the subject back. 16 seconds, all quiet, please. Charles Collingwood on Admiral Collingwood.
Admiral Lord Collingwood, whose name was Cuthbert, but whose nickname was Cuddy, had no sons. He had two daughters.
That's proving my point.
Actually, I must be fair, Sue actually pressed her buzzer before you, and I ignored it. What was your challenge, Sue?
Well, the repetition of his full name. Actually, it's only...
he did repeat the word Lord. Yes, right.
The Lord is not in there.
And the subject on the card is Admiral Collingwood, when he repeated Lord.
Yeah.
So you were correct, Sue.
Yes, boo me, but you'll cheer later. And then hiss.
10 seconds. Tell us something about something more about Admiral Collingwood. 10 seconds, Sue, starting now.
The finest gadabout gay of his time did indeed have no sons, but a couple of prize daughters.
Charles' challenge.
Repetition of sons.
Yeah, no, it was...
No, because she said sons.
She
just
did.
So angry, Nicholas.
I know.
I wish I had some deodorant, I really do. I'm coming out on such a sweat here.
Yes, I'm...
I mean, I do agree that he wasn't a rampant homosexual. So maybe...
He's an admiral, let's face it.
It was deviation, Nicholas. You must know that.
Yes, I
was just talking about his daughters.
He's buried in St. Paul's, for God's sake.
I know.
He wasn't a rampant homosexual.
And as a great... Charles, as you want to finish on this subject, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt for deviation from what Sue said, and you have 5 seconds. Please don't interrupt him. 5 seconds. Admiral Collingwood, starting now.
There was a pub in this city.
Oh, you said that?
Just testing.
Paul.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
Hesitate. This, you know. That's all, folks. Do you know what I mean?
I said, please don't interrupt him.
I was just testing him out.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
He did hesitate. Paul, correct challenge. 3 seconds. Admiral Collingwood starting now.
As his eyes scanned the horizon, looking for the prettiest boy in Portsmouth.
Paul was speaking as the whistle went. He's now... Oh, Sue's catching up. She got a lot of points in that round. Oh, no, Paul's got another one. Charlotte's just giving it to him. I'll put it in there, yes, because he was speaking as the whistle went, so he's gone up to 10, right. Sue's on 9, Charles is on 6, Tony's on 4, and just before we carry on, Charles, can you very briefly tell us anything else about Admiral Charles Collingwood to just dispel the terrible things that have been said about him by the rest of this...
Well, all these people know about him, so that's good. But in fact, he was born here, he went to school here, he went to the Navy when he was 12, he was second in command to Nelson at Trafalgar, and when Nelson died, Collingwood took over the Battle of Trafalgar and won. He became head of the British fleet, and he didn't see his wife or his two daughters for the last 4 years of his life, and he had the...
A bonus point to Charles Collingwood. And finally, are you related?
I am.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes.
Well, if you'd given me Anthony Perkins to have talked about.
Right. Oh, yes, it had to be, didn't it? Geordies. Oh, there's some...
Oh, you wait to hear what I'm going to say.
Right, Geordies. 60 seconds, Paul, starting now.
It's traditionally one of the hardest accents and dialects to master if you're not actually from this area. One tip, if you mention two of Walt Disney's characters, it does help to get your tongue around the vowel sounds. I'll give you the example, Mickey Mouse and Pluto. Now, other ways of perhaps being able to do this is mention famous composers like Shostakovich.
Oh, that was brilliant stuff, Paul. We'd love to continue, but unfortunately, You dried yourself up and you paused, and Tony challenged first. So, Tony, you have 37 seconds on Geordies starting now.
One of my favourite Geordies has to be Paul Gascoigne, not just because of the contributions he made on the football pitch, but because of his records. Oh, they were wonderful.
Paul, challenge.
Because, repetition of because.
Because. Paul, you have Geordies back. And more of it, please. 28 seconds starting now.
Schopenhauer. He was another one who wrote beautiful music in the 19th century. And as you walk around Newcastle, I was only here 3 weeks ago on a Friday night having played one of the other theatres in this beautiful city, and you notice that when it gets to about midnight, people start coming into the...
It's Charles, you're challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, well, whatever it was, yes, right.
Hesitation.
11 seconds on Geordies with you, Charles, starting now.
My favourite Geordie plays cricket for Durham, and his name's Paul Collingwood. What a surprise that was. But, of course, there are lots of others.
Paul challenged.
Is he related to the Admiral?
No.
Paul, we enjoyed the interruption. It's only fair to give you a bonus point because it wasn't a correct challenge. But you get a point for an incorrect challenge, Charles, and you have 4 seconds on Geordies, starting now.
Paul was quite correct.
Tony challenge.
Repetition of Paul.
Paul Collingwood.
Oh!
Because that is not the subject on the card, Paul Collingwood. It is Geordies, and you've got him with 3 seconds on Geordies, Tony, starting now.
The fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine.
Yes, you're very lucky there, because you were saying mine as the whistle went, and Sue actually challenged. It was for that, wasn't it, Sue?
It was indeed.
It's a difficult decision to make. So Sue better have a bonus point, because she did actually challenge on the mine as the whistle went, so that's the only fair thing to do. Tony gets the point for speaking as the whistle went. Now it's all fair square.
Charles, do you have any other relatives we should know about now?
No, I'll just have dropped them in throughout the evening.
So Tony Hawkes and Paul Merton are equal in the lead, followed in equal in second place, Sue Perkins and Charles Collingwood. How very fair. And we're moving into the final round. Ooh. Sue, will you tell us something about Catherine Cookson? She's the next subject we have on this show, starting now.
Catherine Cookson is a fine novelist from this great region, and indeed her books count for one-third of total library borrowings. In Tilly Trotter, which was a book we had at Croydon, I seem to remember it had huge letters, it was a large print book, and it was the only book you could read
Tony, you challenge first. You have a correct challenge. 47 seconds. Catherine Cookson starting now.
It's a little known fact that Catherine Cookson is also a magnificent biographer and wrote one about the Admiral Collingwood, which Charles read many years ago, and he believed many of the lies that was...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of many.
Yes. Right, well, doesn't Sue, correct challenge, 35 seconds. Back with you, Catherine Cookson, starting now.
Her books were so huge, my grandmother...
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of books.
Yes. Tony, we're listening well.
Said books as well,
though. Possibly.
You did say books.
I'm just in a loop now.
Right. 33 seconds, Catherine Cookson, starting now.
My friend Catherine is a fanatical cook. Catherine cooks on and on...
Charles,
I have two ons. We can't have on and on.
Well, one of them was in Cook's On, you see.
No, it wasn't. Catherine Cook's On and On.
You don't know anything about Catherine Cook's and either, do you?
No, I don't. You're right. I can't be able to argue. I know
you're
nothing
you're
about
right.
Her.
You're right, Charles. He did separate the on from the Cook's, and there were two ons, so you have a correct challenge. 26 seconds. Catherine Cookson starting now.
Now, I have to confess, I know very little about Catherine Cookson, but I did have an uncle who was Archer Cookson. Who?
Sue, challenge.
Please make it stop.
Your challenge, but then the rules are just a minute.
My challenge is, this is a quintessential parlour game with it, which provides entertainment for all. It is not an excuse to wheel in your family tree and give everyone a lesson on hereditary.
Well, the thing is, Sue, you can keep going in any way you wish in just a minute.
And we've had his nephew and all that. What are you talking about, Sue?
Providing it's interesting or entertaining and we keep going and don't hesitate, repeat anything or deviate.
Keeping going is the best option, I think. Keeping
going. An incorrect challenge, Charles. You have another point. Catherine Cookson, 20 seconds right. Starting now.
It may be only 20 seconds to you, Nicholas, but for me to talk about Catherine Cookson, it will feel a total age, because I know absolutely zilch.
Tony Challenge.
I think he said, I know very little about her when he first started.
That's what he did.
A repetition of no.
That's right. He said, I know nothing about her. Now it's no, absolutely.
Well, how right I was.
Fortunately, I know lots about her.
Well, you've got 11 seconds to
tell
us.
Well, I haven't started yet.
You've got...
The beauty of life is you can repeat things outside of the game. Although I try not to.
So, Tony, but you've got 11 seconds inside the game to tell us more about Catherine Cookson, starting now.
I had the great privilege of meeting Catherine Cookson.
Paul Challenge.
Well, you've said you know nothing about her. Now you suddenly reveal at the end of this that you actually met the woman, and yet you have not gleaned any personal information to give us anecdotes. You've talked about, I don't know this,
well,
I don't know that.
I'm about to explain.
Oh, you're about to explain. When? Next week? When? When's that going to happen?
No, I think that's a sound challenge. You
was
did
she
establish...
gagged at the time?
Well, hang on. I might have been about to say, and she refused to tell me anything at all whatsoever.
But we don't know that. Tony... just the obvious, the mere fact that you met her means you could not say you know nothing about Catherine Cookson.
You know what she looks
you
like.
You met her.
Well, you've I've got 14 nephews.
No, I mean, I think
fibbing,
the benefit
I mean,
of the,
fibbing isn't offensive.
The benefit,
this
the benefit of that to Paul, a point to him and the subject, 7 seconds, Catherine Cookson starting now.
One of her most famous novels is also, again, one of those phrases that helps you to say a Geordie accent, Terracotta Pots. And that was a wonderful...
So Paul was speaking as a whistle when gained that last point. So let me give you the final situation. Sue Perkins, who did so extraordinarily well.
But ended so badly.
No, you haven't ended badly at all. You've ended alongside Charles Collingwood, and that can't be bad.
No.
You both bring up the rear.
You brought up the rear, but what wonderful rears you both brought up. And...
was he rear Admiral Collingwood, by the way? Was he rear Admiral Collingwood? Vice Admiral.
He became a Vice Admiral, then a rear admiral, and finished up as a full admiral.
Oh.
And certainly when he took over from Nelson, as Charles said, he was a full admiral by then. But Charles and Sue finished equal in second place. So therefore, you've now realised we have out in the lead, just ahead of them, two people who won in first place, which is Paul Merton and Tony Hawke. So we say they are the joint winners this week. Thank you. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Tony Hawkes and Charles Collingwood. And I say thank you to our lovely whistleblower who's helped me with the score as well, that is Charlotte Davis. We thank our producer-director, who is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here at the Theatre Royal in Newcastle. So from them and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, goodbye. Don't forget to tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye!
And next week, Nicholas Parsons is joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Pauline McLynn and Julian Clary.